All right, we got a winner. Oh, we got a winner.
We got a winner.
Goes in. All in line, all set. And they're off.
And here we go.
It's been another week in racing. It's time to recap it. And who better to do it than Michael New Magic? Two bros slash pros who cover the highs and lows of racing around the globe on every one of their shows. Real fans look forward to these guys and their last thoughts, cause they know they're not talking out of their royal ascots. What they say makes sense. So ladies and gents, sit back and relax as Blinkers Off presents The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is The Magic Mike Show, episode 312. Mr. Samich.
Huzzah!
Boy, we're going to Parks, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia for some fun this weekend. Lots of crazy action, lots of money to be made there.
Yeah, pretty exciting. We weren't sure what to do here, so Parks has a jackpot pick five. We are anti-jackpot bets here, so we weren't sure if we're going to do the pick four, and then we came up with this great idea because pick four is 24% takeout, so we didn't love that. Then we thought, hey, we'll do the cross-country pick five. That's 15% takeout, and then Chris Griffin announced – We're doing a mandatory payout. So here we are doing the Parks Pick 5. Looking forward to it.
They call it the Big Philly 5. I'm excited about this. There is no Pick 6 at Parks. But what's exciting about Parks, this is their biggest weekend of the year. It's exciting for Chris Griffin, who's the announcer at Sam Houston as well. Big fan of the show. Big friend of the show. He's got two grade one races, each worth $1 million. Bob Baffert decided that he was going to keep his ball at home and not go play with the big boys this weekend, but whatever.
Honestly, I'm happy he did it. They would both been short price favorites that logically could have won. So it definitely spiced the sequence up a little bit that he decided to let us play with the balls instead.
Yeah, let us play with everybody else's balls. Eight stakes at Parks over the Saturday card. A couple of them are going to be Philadelphia bred, Pennsylvania breds, which is one of the races that Mike and I are going to be covering. We could see potentially, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 Breeders' Cup horses emerge from this weekend at Parks. So it's pretty exciting. I'm excited to get into it. But what's the best thing that you saw this week, Mike?
Well, I'm going to go the classic radio move. We got a first time, long time here. So Gianna, first time listening to the show. And Michael, congratulations. New girl dad here. Welcome to the club. Happy to have you join. And congratulations on the kid, man. I was excited to see the pictures. Glad to hear that everyone is doing well. And looking forward to meeting you someday.
Just like the horses that Michael Myers likes to bet on. She was fast and she was early. She came out a little 4.5 weeks early. Yeah, congratulations to the whole family there. That was going to be one of the – I had two, so that's one of the best things I was going to use. I'm glad you pulled that. I was thinking about it earlier. I'm the only one. There's been a lot of racing dudes, the greater family, people having kids. I'm the only one that's had a boy this year. But we had Dr. Tang had a girl. Michael Myers had a girl. Brandon Bauer is having a girl. There's someone else. Dr. Miranda is having a girl at the end of the year. And then there's me with the boy. So I don't know. He's like the player of the group this year, I guess.
Guys, pick of the litter.
The best thing that I saw is a tip of the cap to Dave Fisher, who is one of our listeners, sent this to me. This happened. I meant to talk about this on Monday. Completely forgot. Emerald Downs on, what was it, on Sunday, race 4. Did you see what happened?
Cowboy style, baby.
Okay, so I'm going to play it here, and then I'm going to unmute us so that we can talk over it so it's not really terrible radio. But here we go. I think they can still hear us. Yeah. So here's the start of Emerald Downs. Watch the horse on the far outside. Skip, hop, hop, hop. Jockey's lost both the irons. You watch his feet. He tries getting them back in there. Nope. Can't find the stirrups. So he's riding like it's the Indian relay style. There's no stirrups. That looks extremely painful. I'm very impressed this guy didn't even just pull up the horse. He's on the even money favorite, so maybe that's why he doesn't do it. They come around the bend. The horse is still in contention. Top of the lane. Look at this horse draw off, Mike. Look at this. What is this?
This is what you call much the best. That's what that is. Like, that's why that horse was an even money favorite. Should have been 1-9 most likely. I want to know how long the ice bath was after that race. I mean, because you need a lot of ice to recover from that. And if you're any of the other jockeys, you just got to give that guy a pat on the back. And I don't expect him to ride for the rest of the day.
He's laughing about it, too. But passing the jockeys, like, I don't know how the hell that I did that. I don't know.
how demoralized do you have to be if you're the other jockeys, right? I mean, that's the crazy thing. How do more? You're like, really? That we should have won that race. Luckily, the purse is like $5,000 up there, so they're probably not that pissed. But man, that has got to be absolutely painful to just ride like that, to ride bareback on a racehorse going 40 miles an hour. I mean, that can't feel good.
I mean, at what point, I think that was a 6-furlong race, 5.5, something around there. How far into that race, because he lost at Ryan's right away, do you think he lost feeling and it just became numb and he was just, at that point, he was along for the ride? Because I want to say it's the top of the stretch, because that's when the horse took off. At that point, he lost all feeling and said, F it, let's go, and off we go.
Well, at that point, you're like, if you've already withstood 4 furlongs of it, what the hell? Why not 2 more, right? I mean, at that point, you wasted the 4 furlongs if you don't put in the effort to finish the thing off. So, yeah, that's I like there. Both of them are first time gelded. Nice, Jason. yeah, that he can join. Who was it? Julian Leperu in the gelded jockey group.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. But on today's show, we're going to be looking at the late pick five, the big Philly five at Parks that has a mandatory payout. The carryover pool, Mike, is $156,000, just shy of $156,000, hoping it breaks over $1 million. Lots of fun races to talk about here. Let's get into it, buddy. Riders. Starting things off here at Parks on Saturday, September 25th, race 9, kicking off the Big Philly 5. This is the Grade 3 $300,000 Turf Monster Stakes, field of 12 horses, 4 and up, going 5 furlongs on the turf course. There is a main track only entry. It's only 2 turf courses on the whole card, Mike. This is the first one, and then actually the end of the pick 5 is the other one, so I'm hoping that even with a little bit of rain, they're going to keep these on the turf. Your favorite is actually the lone female in the group. That is the 8-horse Caravelle at 9-5. Access to the Grade 1 Highlander Stakes, her first try against boys at Woodbine, beaten as the 1-2 favorite there. Takes a little bit of a class drop here, cuts back to 5 furlongs. 9-5 is a really tough price to take on her, though, here. What did you do?
I chucked her. I agree with you that 9-5 is a really tough price to take. And when I looked at this sequence, I really – look, there's a horse in the next that we're going to talk about, a heavy, heavy favorite that is going to be singled on a lot of tickets. I couldn't find a way around – singling that horse. So if I can't find a way around singling Jackie's Warrior in the next race, then I have to find a way to be creative in some of these other legs. And to me, this is one of those legs where I think you have a weaker favorite in the 8-horse. So I'm going to go 3 deep here. I'm not going to use the favorite. I'm going to try and get a little bit of a price. I do actually think the 8-horse Caravelle actually goes off as a favorite as well. That race 2 back at Saratoga was excellent, beating Robin Sparkles. My top pick in here was a 5-horse Firecrow. I thought that last race was an absolute monster effort off the layoff at Pimlico. We've got another layoff here. It's only the 4th time this horse is trying turf. I love the monster step up. If you look at the buyers, you have an 88 when this horse was a 3-year-old. Then their very next race, you see a 47 buyer, but that buyer is not really accurate, okay? That was against Texas Wedge and Caratari, some of the horses you faced here, where you saw speed and the horse just quit, right? So the buyer doesn't really represent the type of race the horse ran. It's just a speed and quit race, right? So let's draw a line through that. And you come back and you run a career best 100 buyer off the layoff, sprinting over the turf, able to stalk and then pass horses, including the Critical Way, who has run very well since then. I think Firecrow has a huge shot in here at 7-2.
When I initially went through this, I used Firecrow and I chucked Caravelle, and I changed my mind when I slept on it and woke up today, thought about it. I think that Firecrow, to be successful on the turf, has to have the lead. I think there's enough speed in here that he doesn't get it easily, and I think that he might be able to spit the bit when he's facing a horse like Caravelle, who's proven when she's at 5 furlongs and doesn't have to press the pace, she's really sharp, she's really deadly. She did stumble against boys last time out. But Woodbine, you know this is a very tricky course. That turf stretch is as long as the Belmont dirt. So she basically was not only running 6 furlongs, which seems like it's out of her purview a little bit. She's trying to do it with like 4 furlongs where it's straight. She probably just ran out of gas and got tired. Ended up finishing a really respectable 3rd there behind 2 very strong Woodbine horses. But I am worried when it comes to Firecrow, the 12 Admiral Abe, who I think has no business trying to contend for a win in this race. I think he's a speed and quit horse that's going to be on the outside of Firecrow. Might make it a little dangerous. You could see the 6 horse that likes to show some speed. The 3 horse likes to show some speed. The four horse likes to show some speed, but this is one that we both used, and this was my top pick, Karatari. First of all, effing love this horse. I talk about him all the time on this show. So you knew he was going to be my top. But we're getting Luis Saez, and he is exiting probably his best race ever, buyer speed-wise. Definitely is a 102 for almost winning the Troy Stakes at 23-1, misses by a half a length. Fast Boat, the horse that beat him, is an extremely impressive turf sprinter. If he was in here, we'd both be using him, and he'd be favored over Caravelle, I think. Gear Jockey finished third that race, came back and won his next start. Karatari just is got really great tactical speed. He's very talented. He's always in these races. Five furlong seems to be exactly what he wants to do. And I don't know how you feel about it, Mike, but Turf sprint stakes really don't. I think there's only three grade one turf sprints in the entire country or North America all year long. I feel like the Troy and this one, the Turf Monster, both deserve to be at least grade two, if not grade one races, because of how much talent you get, how awesome they are. So the fact that he leaves a race that I think is better than a grade three, having almost won it, comes in here. I am full go on Karatari, and I know you used him as well.
Yeah, I use Karatari too. I think Karatari makes a ton of sense here. And I agree with you. I think you when you're looking at these turf sprints, you almost have to look at who is running in those races and then kind of judge based off of that. You also have to look at trips. You get some real troubled trips in some of these turf sprints because of how compact these horses are. You often have large fields. You're looking at 10, 12, 13 horses that are going as fast as humanly possible. I mean, you're looking at the fastest opening half miles in these races, and you're turning tight turns. And so a lot of times you have troubled trips. I disagree with you that Firecrow needs the lead. That's why I used Firecrow. I think that especially with Rosario, this horse can kind of sit in third or fourth right behind the frontier of speed, get first run, and play catch me if you can at five furlongs, which I think makes Firecrow awfully dangerous. I think Karatari kind of in the same boat, where Karatari doesn't need the lead but can sit in that third, fourth spot. And if Karatari is able to make a run from there, I think Karatari is really, really dangerous. I think you have inside and outside cheap speed that's coming here, that's been here at Parks, that will probably set the pace. And I think they'll get run down by some of the more just classy horses that you see in this race. And I think the four and the five make a ton of sense. To me, the other horse I'm going to use here is the seven horse Belgrano. Interesting to use a 7-year-old here, especially coming off a career best buyer. But that's exactly what we got last time. First off the layoff, we had a career best buyer, beat the connector who's in here as well. Look, I'm not excited about the added weight. That is like my one biggest concern. But something clicked here for this horse in these last couple races. And when you have something click and the horse takes a couple steps up, and the horse is bred to love this. I mean, this is a Warfront, son of Warfront out of a Malibu Moon mare who is 3 for 6 at the distance, but another time hitting the board. I mean, I could see Belgrano running a monster race here. And I like, again, the way that Belgrano is going to run. I like the way that I think you're going to have pace up front to chase. And I think you're going to have Belgrano sitting right behind that. And if that's the case, I feel like I have kind of Karatari and Firecrow who are sitting in that first flight. And then I've got Belgrano, who I think is that closer who, shockingly at seven, it has a likely chance to improve here and run a career best effort and really fits into here. So I'm going to go 4-5-7 and see if we can start out with a little bit of a price.
You and I agree on Belgrano as well. I would be a little worried when he's coming off that really sharp buyer, you know, career best. But then you look, the race before that, it was a career best right before that too. So I'm not too worried. It seems like maybe that took a little bit out of him when he had that 94. Two starts back, took a little bit of time off. But now the fact that we're doing second off very quickly here tells me this horse probably came out of it quite well. Castillo and Russo are 50% together over 10 mounts. And the fact this horse is a two-time open stakes winner tells me he's not going to be intimidated by what he sees in here. 7-year-old gelding by Warfront. Got to love him in this position. The last horse I use is the 9.
Before you go on, sorry to cut you off.
No,
you got to look at Russo's stats too. I don't know if you saw this. Absolutely freaking wild. The guy is 45% in turf sprints. He's 5 for 11. So it's not like he's misplacing these horses. You're like, oh, well, he probably doesn't place them that high. Well, you know, if you look at sprints, he's 38%, turf 24%. I mean, just he is better at turf sprints than anything else. And this is from a 31% trainer. So I think you have to respect the heck out of the fact that this horse even shows up here, because Russo is not running his horses to lose.
Right. Well, and on that point, he's a 31% trainer this year. 32 starters, 10 wins. He is placing his horses to win. So it's, thank you for bringing that up. I had those notes and skipped over it. You did mention weight, added weight being an issue for a couple horses, Belgrano, Firecrow, Karatari, all carrying 126. How about the 9 Battle Stations carrying 121 and is exiting the prep for this, which is the Parks Dash, over the same course, missed by a nose, and he was coming from off the pace. The way I handicap this, there's a lot of speed here. A lot of it's cheap and is going to quit. This horse is going to be flying past horses in the stretch. Kendrick Carmouche was aboard when he won at Belmont Park against open optional claimers back in May. He beat Shecky Shabazz that day. I think that's a race that we covered because I think that we were both against Shecky Shabazz in that spot. I don't remember if we had Battle Station. But Daniel Velasquez gets this horse back. The horse was favored the first time he raced for Velasquez back in August of last year. Didn't win the race, but then he comes back for the Parks Dash into Velasquez again and almost gets the win. Four of his seven career wins have been at this distance, so it fits. I think if there's a pace meltdown, this is the horse that comes flying with Kendrick Carmouche.
Got to improve a lot. We just talked about how the seven Belgrano's got to improve. The nine has to take a bigger step forward than the seven. Has to do it when it's not as logical of his time. Like, this isn't second off a layoff or anything like that. This is just kind of seventh in a race cycle. So
second for the barn.
But you need like an 8 to 10 point jump from a buyer perspective to be competitive with this field. I think that's asking a little bit too much out of the nine. But I do like your idea of, hey, if this shit just falls apart, who's the one who's running home, right?
Well, speaking of races that may or may not fall apart, let's move on to the second leg of the Big Philly Five. I'm going to get this right. At Parks, this is race 10 on the card, the Grade 2 $300,000 Gallant Bob Stakes. 7 3-year-old colts and all colts going 6 furlongs on the dirt track. This is a fun race. It's one of the last 3-year-old restricted dirt stakes of the year. Huge favorite, Jackie's Warrior, 4-5, exiting that amazing win over Life Is Good when Life Is Good was ridden like a pony in the morning. You're going to single him here. I fully understand it. Talk about why, I mean, briefly, because this is Jackie's Warrior.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real quick here. No one in here can challenge Jackie's Warrior early. There isn't a Life Is Good in here. And if you can't challenge Jackie's Warriors early, and it's 6 furlongs, you go.
Yeah.
That's all you need. That's real talk. That's all you need.
The only one I think who could, and he hasn't really ever done it in his career before, is the other horse I'm going to use, and that's the one real talk. It's Paco Lopez on the rail with a horse that likes to be forwardly placed. Jackie's Warrior has run faster opening quarter and half miles than what Real Talk has been asked to do. But Real Talk hasn't had Paco Lopez aboard when Jackie's Warrior is on the far outside and Paco's looking, trying to get to the front there. This is totally a play thinking that if Jackie's Warrior falls apart, if for whatever reason, I think this is the most likely winner. And if Jackie's Warrior falls apart, I mean, he's had four straight really good races here, and he's exiting the one that he's raced the hardest in, right? When he had to battle back to beat Life Is Good on the inside at Saratoga, there's a good chance that might have taken something out of him. Now, it could have taken a lot out of him, and he can still beat this field, but if it took just enough out of him, and I've got crazy-ass Paco Lopez on the rail on a speed horse, it wouldn't be the wildest thing to me. So to me, that's the most likely winner. That's the only way Jackie's Warrior gets beat. If Jackie's Warrior does get beat, Mike, who do you see doing it?
Oh, God. I mean, the only way I think he always say she because of Jackie's part. Yep. Only way I think he gets beat is that everyone decides to go nutty up front and someone just picks the pieces up. And I guess the most logical one to pick the pieces up is probably going to be the four horse picking time. I mean, like, that's the problem is that, like, there's nobody who I'm like, oh, yeah, they're really going to run them down late. Like, it feels like it's not going to, you're not going to see anybody. Oof, I might have. Sorry, Belmont's going too. You're not going to see anybody just absolutely run this horse down late to me, which is the problem. Is that, like, if the one Real Talk goes and Jackie's Warrior goes and they go 21:43, can someone get there in the final closing steps? And that's the big question. I think the 13 did hang on, Nick. Unfortunately, it really hurts because the 10 would have been huge there. Anyway, yeah, sorry, Belmont's going too. So we're kind of double tasking here. But yeah, this is one of those where I think the only way Jackie's Warrior loses is if he gets cooked up front, and I don't see who even picks him up if he does.
Yeah. I mean, he could get cooked up front and still be good enough that he just hangs on and then everybody stumbles behind him. So
we got the best Bob possible. The 10 might have got up.
Do you think that is this the most likely single on the entire, because Hot Rod Charlie in the Pennsylvania Derby, maybe some people want to try and single him there too. Is Jackie's Warrior the most likely single?
Yes. Oh, 100%. I think Jackie's Warrior is going to be singled on close to 80% of the tickets, and I think it's actually correct. I think Jackie's Warrior wins this race 90% of the time. Like, I wouldn't bet Jackie's Warrior 2-5, but 2-5 I think is value in this spot, which is crazy for me to say.
A race where I found a little bit more value than 2-5 is the next race on the card here. Race 11, the Grade 1, $1 million Cotillion Stakes. Field of 8 fillies now with a scratch of Private Mission. Going a mile and a 16th, 2 turns on the dirt. The last really big race for 3-year-old fillies going 2 turns. On the dirt, your favorite is the number 6, Clarier. She's 2-1 on the morning line. Private Mission was the third choice at 9-2. So with her scratch, you could definitely see that come down a little bit from 2-1 there. Mike, neither one of us are using her. So let's talk about who we do like here.
I apologize. I am sweating this photo because this with the Sama Bombs, I'm starting to do something new. I'm putting a pick 4 article out every single day. We beat an even money favorite with a 10-1 shot last race. We've got a 7-1 shot that is in like this wild photo here to get through 3 of the 4 legs. The pick 3 pays $1,300 to start the pick 4 if this freaking 10 horse can get the nose down. So very interested in how this goes. Anywho, who do I have up top here? Look, this is one of those where I think I would have had Private Mission because Private Mission really seemed like the lone speed in this spot.
Yep.
When you peel it back and you take Private Mission out of this spot, you kind of go toward Always Karina as being lone speed. And because of that, we win the photo. And because of that, I have Always Karina on top here. And I actually thought about singling Always Karina and trying to beat Jackie's Warrior the previous race. But in this way, like I kind of like a couple others in here and I like prices in here. So we'll get to that in a second. But I think Always Karina is the controlling speed. I think she's going to be tough up front.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had the exact same thing happen, and I'll let you know that if you are interested in Aaron Halterman's picks, which are part of the Inside Track to the Pennsylvania Derby Wagering Guide, which is available at racenews.com right now, go to the Handicap and Products page, check it out. Aaron, before the scratches, he had Private Mission as his top pick here, and so did I. I was too deep, and I went Private Mission over the 5 Army Wife. And then Private Mission scratched, and you and I and Aaron all did the same thing and went, well, that was lone speed. There's only other one horse that likes to really be up front. That's okay, well, I guess we're going to roll with Always Karina, who has been slower with the buyer speed figures with every career start. So that's what you want to see with the horse going to her first two-turn test. But she is going to be controlling speed. I think that's a big angle for it. It's hard to go against. I used the 5 Army Wife. Did you as well? You did.
Yeah, the five made it too. And again, like Always Karina also was in over her head a little bit in the test. I don't think she wants to go 22:45, so I give her kind of a pass there. I think she's going to be able to go more than 24:48. And if she does, she was tough in that race. And she beat Clarier, who's your favorite here, doing that. So I like her in that sense. I did use the 5 Army Wife. Look, this horse just makes a ton of sense to me, right? The races at Saratoga were, like, look, the Alabama and the CCA Oaks, both great races. Love the races. Both kind of a mess. I mean, like, you think about back to the CCA Oaks, a 4-horse field, you had jockeying for position like crazy. Just, you had Malathat, who's clearly the best horse, get the worst possible chip, challenged by A, B, and C, and then Maracuja runs on by late. Like, it's just a very funky race. Alabama was kind of similar to me, so I'm not going to hold that against Army Wife too much. I was surprised Army Wife was in the lead as early as Army Wife was. I think you're going to see a more of a tactical trip here from Joel Rosario, kind of back to what he did in the Indiana Oaks, where we all were really impressed with how Army Wife ran. So I think we can kind of look more toward that race, and I do like Army Wife quite a bit. And I think this distance, the mile 16th, is a little bit better for her as well. The other next up horse I had was actually Will Secret. And this is one of those horses that was like the wise guy horse and then fell on its face, and then it was like now – then everyone said, oh, maybe we're going to come back and we're going to run well here in the Alabama – and the horse ran okay, but was close to the pace, then kind of fell off. Look, I think this is the horse that sits second. So I think Always Karina is going to be in the lead. I think Will Secret is going to sit the trip right behind. And if Always Karina just gives it up, I think Will Secret is the horse that takes over top of the stretch. And at 12-1, with a horse that's shown talent, cutting back to a mile on the 16th, which I think is the right distance for this horse, who is going to sit in a beautiful trip, I kind of like the 3 here at 12-1 as well.
I didn't use the 3. You make Dr. Miranda happy, though. She's a big Will Secret fan. By the way, coming up later today on the YouTube page at RacingDudes.com, the Racing Dudes YouTube page and at RacingDudes.com, Dr. Miranda is going to be doing a full field preview for this race and giving her picks. She usually does her best when she's picking the dirt female route horses. I don't understand why, but that's just her specialty. So make sure you tune in later for that to see what she's going to pick. I didn't use Will Secret because at this point I'm ready to just give up on her. I mean, she was fun in the spring and she just hasn't done much. I think she does sit a decent trip like you're talking about, but she didn't really capitalize on that in the Alabama, which is you talk about Army Wife being the leader. Gaff Leone was trying to beat Malathat. They were trying to figure out a way, like, how do we stop Malathat in this spot? Let's try and get first run on the leaders. And it kind of worked until Malathat just came coming. And at that point, a mile and a quarter for Army Wife, I think it was too far. Now we're coming back to a mile and a 16th where she won at 2 starts back. So I'm with you. I'm being solid here. I almost used the other horse that you are using in this spot. That's the one obligatory. Talk about her.
Yeah, this is, again, one horse who I think is kind of getting back to what it wants to do. And, like, it's weird to say that because you look at the last time this horse went two turns, went a mile and 16th. He was a Fairground Oaks and didn't run that well. But I think Obligatory has gotten quite a bit better since. Obviously, was beneficial of a pace meltdown in the Eight Bells where this horse won the Grade Two. Comes back in the Acorn, runs really well against search results. And that's kind of the race I'm going to more lean toward. Like, distance shouldn't be an issue. This is a curling out of a Macho Uno mare. We should have no problem going two turns. Mile 16 should be not an issue for this horse. So I get that the one time we went two turns, it didn't go great, but that was the first time we went two turns. We always talk about how horses do things better the second time. So hopefully we can see this horse do better here the second time going two turns. And I like the fact that this horse is going to be able to close. So we have horses that are in every flight of this race, basically, in my ticket, right? I've got the horse who I think is going to be in the lead, horse who I think is going to be sitting right behind, the horse who I think is going to be closing. So I feel like I'm kind of covering my bases here from where these horses are going to be coming from. And I have the best horse in every tier. We're going to try and beat Clairiere.
Definitely with you on trying to beat Clairiere. One horse that we move on that it perplexes me about what she'll do here is the 9 Leader of the Band, because she's the horse that was the type of horse that did things backwards. When she was sprinting, going one turn, she was really close to the pace. She stretched out to two turns, and they turned into a dead set closer. So maybe they're trying to take advantage of like when to press go on her. You get 3 furlongs of burst out of her. But I'll be curious to see if they maybe with the lack of pace here, Frankie Pennington and John Service, the trainer, both strong local connections here. I wonder if they try and screw with us a little bit and go to the lead. She hasn't really run that fast to make me think that she'll hang with Always Karina if Always Karina wants to go. But, well, no, she has before. I don't know. What do you think? Did you worry about Leader of the Band screwing with you pace-wise at all?
I mean, a little bit. But
it's a weird form.
It is. Look, first off, Time Form has her 69 early Time Form rating, which is really low compared to Always Karina, which is 112. We also talk about this all the time. If Always Karina decides, if Velasquez, who we've seen make some really good front-end rides, decides that Always Karina should be on the lead, guess what? She's on the lead. Yep. Like, because you're inside and you're faster. So if Velasquez decides Always Karina's on the lead, she's going to be on the lead. And what you see in these races is that when you get to that first turn, the inside leader kind of drifts out to the two path and then ducks into the one. And the horse at the outside leader loses a half length to 3/4 length. Then the jockey has a choice. Do I want to gun it around the turn and try and head this horse and make the lead by the top of the top of the back stretch, or do I back off? And 99 times out of 100, they back off. And I think that's what you'll see here if Leader of the Band does try and show speed against Always Karina.
Excellent answer. Thank you for your insight on that. Let's move on to race 12. This the penultimate leg of the Big Philly Five at Parks with the mandatory payout on Saturday, September 25th. The Grade $1 Million Pennsylvania Derby, formerly a Breeders' Cup winner for the Classic. Not this year, but your favorite out of post 7, Hot Rod Charlie, 5-2. I love that he gets a rematch with Midnight Bourbon just to his outside. See if Hot Rod looks at him in the stall and says, bitch, don't ever get in my way again. We'll see what happens here. Hot Rod Charlie is my top pick. I went too deep. We both think that there's one other horse who you can make a legitimate case to beat Hot Rod Charlie because he's the only one that we're kind of like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like Hot Rod Charlie here. I don't think you need to use Midnight Bourbon and Hot Rod Charlie. Midnight Bourbon had everything his own way in the Travers, couldn't get the job done. Hot Rod Charlie already smack this horse upside the head in Louisiana. I don't see how that doesn't happen again here. Hot Rod Charlie's inside of Midnight Bourbon. We just talked about how important that was. So I feel like you cover Midnight Bourbon with Hot Rod Charlie. And that pains me to say. Midnight Bourbon is the reason we didn't have to wear a costume anywhere this year. So I'm sorry, buddy. Love you. But you're not going to win this race. Look, I'll let you talk about the three horse we both use. I'm going to talk about the other horse I use, the 10 horse, American Revolution. Okay. A little bit of a stretch, not going to lie. 15-1 on the morning lines, the Todd Pletcher horse. But like, this is a horse where it's really interesting that Pletcher decides to send this horse in here. He's also got Babonic in here. So it's not like this is the only horse he's sending. You look at the starts, right? We started out at Keeneland, run a 66 buyer. Who did we lose to in that race? We ran into Mandaloon. That's a pretty tough MSW, okay? We come back, we get the job done against Water's Edge, who wins next time out, and actually is a pretty good New York horse. We go to a stakes race of Fingerlings. Okay, whatever. Then we go into the Albany at Saratoga at 1 1/8, and this horse absolutely airs Bobby Bowe and a bunch of others. Bobby Bowe, by the way, that was that Baffert horse, right? Yeah, yep. Absolutely airs him. Doesn't even try in the last 16th. And now we show up here. The buyers kind of step up, step up, step up. So you have a 79 to an 87 to a 98. And who's the sire, Magic?
Constitution.
Who loves Constitution?
Mike Savage.
This guy. 15-1. I'm willing to take a shot here, especially if we see Midnight Bourbon and Hot Rod Charlie hook up. I think it sets it up for a horse coming. And look, I know what Weyburn is. I know what Bourbonic is. I know what these horses are. I don't like what I know. So I'm going to go with the new shooter here. I'm going to go to American Revolution, the 10 on the outside. And then you can talk about the other horse we're using, who I feel is a new shooter as well, in the 3 horse.
Yeah, American Revolution is an interesting horse because he's got like the opposite, the inverted bell curve. So he's a constitution that when he was purchased, that was before Tis the Law had exploded. So a constitution, still a very cheap sire, wasn't 85,000 back then. They buy him for 275. It's China Horse Club. It's Windstar Farm. They then send in to Rudy Brissett, who kind of gets the cast-offs, the ones that don't qualify for Pletcher or for Baffert. They get sent to Rudy Brissett. The horse starts once for Rudy Brissett. It goes to – doesn't win, doesn't even hit the board, then goes to Pletcher and rattles off 3 straight wins. Like, he bottomed out, was at the bottom, did nothing to improve, and somehow, like – and now he's Lane Kiffening himself, like, way up to the top here. So, listen, this horse is a big unknown to me in the terms of he's beaten a bunch of nobodies. Bobby Bowe, not a very – super awesome Baffert. It is a Baffert horse that you always have to respect, but this is a huge test for him. But he is an unknown. So we'll see what happens. And then the other one, of course, 3 Speakers Corner that we're both using. The only horse that is unknown in terms of trying 2 turns, he's never done it. But you talk about with American Revolution, who he lost to on debut. Well, this horse was behind Team Merchants, a good Doug O'Neill horse, and 10 for 10. 10 for 10 broke his maiden next out. Speakers Corner broke his maiden next out against Caddo River, Greatest Honor. That was that key maiden special weight that everybody was pointing to early at the 2021 Derby Trail. Everybody's saying, every horse out of this race is really great. Speaker's Corner is hurt. We don't know if he's coming back. He finally does. Airs in that allowance, and Bill Mott, who's not an aggressive trainer, steps him up from a 7 furlong first level allowance right up to a grade 1, 2 turn test, $1 million. Godolphin doesn't need to push him up to this if they don't need to, if he's not ready. My one concern, Mike, is you see in the chat, everybody's all over Speaker's Corner. We're all over Speaker's Corner. Are we getting 6-1 instead of 12-1 on this horse?
There's zero chance you get 6-1. Zero chance we even get 6-1. This is your second pick in the race. I'm not even kidding. Everyone is on wow. Speaker's Corner. I think Speaker's Corner ends up going off close to 3-1, maybe 4-1. And I think that Midnight Bourbon is right around the same price. I think you're looking at between, you know, 3-1 and 4-1 on both of those horses. I think Hot Rod Charlie goes off as your 8-5, 9-5 favorite. Everyone is on Speaker's Corner, and for good reason. I mean, you look at the form. This horse ran really well as a 2-year-old and then comes back as a 3-year-old and just runs a 101 buyer, absolutely monster improvement. This is a street sense of a Bernardini mare, homebred by Godolphin. Like, this horse would have sold for like just stacks at auction, but because it's a homebred, it doesn't. And then it looks like Speaker's Corner looks so good in that return. And it was a pretty good race. Not great. Like, Mahamal lost today at 3-5, and it's like my shit on horse of the year right now. But like, the effort was so impressive. And so I'd be shocked if you don't see a lot of people being like, hey, I know what Hot Rod Charlie is. I know what Midnight Bourbon is. I'm going to be really sharp and pick Speaker's Corner. Like, and then the horse is just going to get hammered. I expect that to happen on race day.
Rats. Well, I was afraid of that happening, but hey, listen, everybody in the chat, we're all on the same 3 horses, 2-3 horses here, it seems like. So let's see if we could roll on through and stay alive for the last leg of the Big Philly 5 with that mandatory payout.
Sorry, Benny. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully y'all get 25-1.
Race 13 at Parks on Saturday, September 25th. This is the Alphabet Soup Handicap. This is a field of 11 Pennsylvania-bred males, 4 and up, going 1 1/16 on the turf course. Favoritism is on the number 7. Wait for it at 7-2. I went 4 deep. I didn't use him, Mike. I don't really like him in this spot. I think this race has 3 horses that I really like, and then otherwise you can just hit the all button. It's nuts.
It's kind of crazy. I did use Wait for it. I almost singled in here. I almost singled the eight to one 5 horse, Papal Law. And this is interesting because you kind of have to dig a little bit here to get to this horse, but you don't even have to dig that much. It's coming out of 5 and 5.5 turf sprints. And so you look at that and you look at the race and you're like, well, do I really want a horse coming out of 5 and 5.5? It's going 1 1/16. Well, first off, the answer is yes at Parks. You need to be forwardly placed to win on the Parks turf, period. I've been playing tournaments there the last couple of weeks. If you are way back, you got zero chance at winning. So you have to be on or close to the lead to win on the Parks turf. Look at the races around 2 turns for this horse. They're better. Like, you go back to the 1 1/8 race at Laurel, the horse runs an 87 buyer and wins for fun going wire to wire. Does the same thing, runs an 87 going a mile at Laurel, ends up finishing second there, but sets the pace, then kind of gives it up a little bit. this horse didn't stop. Like, yeah, the horse has sprinted maybe five or six times when you look through the different PPs. But like, for the most part, this horse has been going two turns the whole time. And when you look at the buyers, when this horse goes two turns, 82, 83, 86, 85, 89, they tower over this field. Like, there's no one else runs these numbers in here. And so when you look at it from a Parks perspective, where you got a horse that's going to be a speed horse, and then you look at it from a, okay, now let's talk about like how talented the horse is. This may be your most talented horse. And there's not an abundance of speed in here either. I feel like Papillon could go to the front and wire the field. Papillon could sit second or third and be able to make a move around the turn. And the distance isn't an issue. Speed's not an issue. 8-1's a nice price.
You know what the issue is, Mike, is class. You know how many times this horse has tried stakes company? 3. You know how many times that horse finished within 7 lengths of the winner? 0 times. This horse sucks at the stakes level. Sucks at the stakes level. He did exactly what you said he needs to do in the alphabet soup, which is try and go to the front. He finishes 7th, beating 21 and a half lengths.
Yeah, they went 22-1, 45-2. They're not going 22-1, 45-2 on Saturday. Let's be real.
Probably not. This is I'm with you. I think this is probably your pace leader or your pace setter. But if they were going a mile, maybe I'd use it. I think a mile and 16th. I think this horse is just they're going to come off the turn. He's going to be in that position you love, which is the leader at the top of the stretch. And I think that's right when the wall smacks him in the face and he falls apart there.
Yeah, but okay. His 3 stakes races, they went 22-2, 45-4, 22-1, 45-2. That's not happening. And his other one, he ran against Corelli, Pixelate, and Dreams of Tomorrow. They'd all be 1 to 1,000,000 in this race. They'd be such a heavy favorite.
Pretty favored, yeah. You're not worried about the 6 gunning because 6 is coming over out of dirt sprints. He's going to be trying turf here. You're not worried about him kind of screwing you up?
Not really.
Not worried enough.
No. I mean, again, I'm inside. And like, I don't think that Papillon needs the lead. But you look at the turf sprint 2 back where this horse comes from 8 lengths off the pace and is able to close and doesn't have any issue doing it. So the fact that we're versatile in that sense, I think that if the 6 wants to go, great, go. We'll sit right behind you. And we actually have turf form and distance form.
The one horse that we do agree on here is my top choice. That's the horse on the rail. You Must Chill 9-2 with Frankie Pennington, Jamie Ness, very strong local connections. This horse has won 4 of 5 starts since transferring from California to Pennsylvania. 3-for-3 versus open company, which I really like. The fact that they only lost 1 time, it was a 7-furlong dirt sprint, so we don't have to worry about the 1 turn that hurt him was the dirt. Don't have to worry about that. We're going 2 turns on turf here. By the way, the 2 horses that finished ahead of him in that race, I Am Redeemed and Uncle Ernie, both won their next starts out of that one. Uncle Ernie, I think, just won the other day. I really love this horse. I Am Redeemed also is in the Pennsylvania Derby. We didn't use him, but the fact that he exited that race and eventually shows up in a grade $1 million race, you've got to like that going. I think this horse is in form. I think he's kind of you don't have to worry about any question marks about anything. You just need this horse to break clean, and I think he's got a strong chance.
Yeah, I love the fact that we're sitting the rail here. I mentioned you got to be up close to the lead. I think that You Must Chill can be close to the pace here. I the numbers need to take a little bit of a step forward, but I do like the fact that we've run over the Parks turf before as well. You're kind of trusting this horse a little bit and trusting Jamie Ness, who dominates, absolutely dominates at Parks, because you do need to take a look. This horse has not faced stakes class at all. I mean, that's the same argument you just made against my 5 we could make against this 1 year, where it's a big step up in class. But I do think that this horse trips out. I think that's one of the big things. As we mentioned, you have to be close to the lead or near it. The one horse should get a great trip from the rail draw here, sit inside both times, be able to pounce on that speed early that may not be strong, which is one of the reasons you don't like the 5 and the 6. I think the 5's got a shot, but the 1 is going to sit right behind those 2 and get first run. So I do think the 1's got a legit chance to get it done here.
I also use the 3 Irish Cork, 5-1, John Service. This horse is it's interesting because the jockey, Rodriguez, is 5 starts in the saddle, 3 wins, a 2nd, and a 3rd. So very strong when he's riding the horse. Flat out is a 4% turf route sire. This horse is going to be trying turf for the first time. They tried it once, 2 starts back, and it got rained off. He's trying turf for the first time for a 4% turf route sire. However, his dam was 1-for-2 on the turf. He has 2 siblings who are both successful turf routers. So I think he can overcome flat out spot there. This horse has been running very consistently well with the buyer speed figures that you see there. He was facing stakes company at Belmont Park in the flat out. He was in the Stormcat that was in the slop. This horse is a big question mark, but I think at 5-1, I'm getting a horse with what looks like plenty of talent. strong local connections here. All three times that Rodriguez has won for service in the last 2 years has been aboard this horse. So I think this is a special connection that they all three have here. I understand if your question mark is about the turf and it scares you off. It's not a strong turf barn, only 9%, 6% going first-time turf. So I understand if you don't want to use Irish Cork. Is that kind of what scared you off of him?
It is. It is. And it's ironic because now I'm going to talk about how I'm going to use the 7. Wait for it. And Uptown Charlie Brown is this percent on turf. Okay.
Yep.
But you know what? Uptown Charlie Brown has 2 winners on synthetic. Actually, has 2 wins on synthetic. Guess which horse won both of those races?
It's this one. Yeah.
Guess it is one horse that hits the board on turf. Guess which horse hit the board? So I'm going to use the current form I see and go outside. Because sometimes people get crazy with sire stats. And they say, oh, well, this sire is X percent, and I can't use any horse by it. If the horse has shown that it's actually good at that surface, or that, then you kind of got to give it credit for being good at that surface and not continue to use its sire against it. So in this case, I am going to use weight for it because he is the only horse that's won on synthetic for Uptown Charlie Brown. He is the only horse that has hit the board on turf for Uptown Charlie Brown. The fact that he has done it makes me believe a little bit more. And by the way, he hit the turf. He ran third to Sweet By and By in a stakes race. So it's not like he hit the board on turf against a really bad field. I mean, he actually, he didn't run the biggest buyer, but it was like a third start of his career. But early in the 2-year-old season, I believe it was. But like, at least we were able to do it and show the propensity for it. So I kind of like Wait For It here. I think he's the other one you have to use. I considered using the other horse I think you're about to talk about. But for me, I ended up just going with a $72 ticket and I used the 1-5 and the 7.
I left him off because I did not want to have 4 favorites on a pick 5 ticket. We're both going against Clarier here, and I looked at the other favorites. I'm not playing against Jackie's Warrior. I'm not playing against Hot Rod Charlie. This is where I'm gonna take a stand here for ticket constructive purposes. If you like this horse, maybe go a little shorter in some other spots. If you like the other favorites, I'm gonna go with the 10. Missing the big dog. I don't know if this is the horse you were thinking I was gonna use.
Yep.
We're getting Kendrick Carmouche aboard. This horse is gonna be sitting a good. He's gonna be breaking from post 10, but they are gonna have the whole stretch for him to try and get over into a decent position. I think this horse will be sitting. Probably within the end of that first flight of horses, so probably third, fourth in that area. A great stalking position. You see the race 4 back, and he won at Pimlico, going a mile and a 16th against optional claimers. Worked out really well. They moved him up to the stakes race that Wait For It won on the synthetic. Didn't work out that well, but he is 0-4 on synthetic. He is, however, 3-8 on turf. 3 of his 5 career wins coming on the surface. I like that he's stretching out from a 6-furlong sprint where he actually was about to lead, contend for the win, and then the horses that have that sprint speed, that sprint kick, just kind of shot right past him. And this is a horse that definitely needs 2 turns. So I think he's going to be sharp off of there. I like that Kendrick Carmouche is going to stick around and ride in this race, ride for this barn that he's never ridden for before. The barn itself, not that strong with turf horses overall, but I like the horse at 8-1.
I mean, the 23% barn, so that's definitely a positive. I really like the work 2 back right before that last race at Laurel. I like the barn switch. You didn't even mention that. I think we're in a better barn than we were prior. So I'd like, and this is second time out for the new barn as well. So I think there's a lot to like about the 10. This was literally the last horse off my ticket. So it cut me down from, it was a $96 ticket to a $72 ticket. So if you want to spend $96, I would add the 10 on my ticket. If you don't, spend the 72 and that's just go 157. But this was definitely a horse that I considered.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Magic Mike Show, at least as far as the horse racing goes. Thanks for joining Mike and I to go through the Big Philly 5 at Parks on Saturday, September 25th, including the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion Stakes. Remember, this is a mandatory payout for the pool. There's a $156,000 carryover that's going into Saturday. They're not racing between now and then, so that is going to be a guaranteed carryover for us there. Mike and I go through our tickets one last time. If you're watching live or the replay on YouTube or Twitter, Facebook, thanks for joining us. Give us a like, a thumbs up. Really appreciate it. If you can subscribe to the Racing Dudes YouTube channel and click the notification bell, you'll get alerted anytime we go live. The Racing Dudes with blinkers off, the Rocket Hour, Dudes Who Bet Sports. Lots of fun on the Racing Dudes YouTube channel, so you don't want to miss any of that. Mike, I'm going to start with my ticket for 50 cents. I'm going to go 4-7-8-9 with 1-7 with 5-8 with 3-7 with 1-3-8-10. That is $64. Your ticket, please.
I'm going to go 4-5-7 with 7 with 1-3-5-8 with 3-7-10 with 1-5-7. That'll cost you $72 for 50 cents.
We're going to, I want to plug one last time. I know that the Racing Dudes Blinkers Off will be coming on here in a little bit, but over at racingdudes.com, we are all set with the Pennsylvania Derby, with the guide for the inside track covering every single race. So if you want to play Parks for the day, go check that out. If you subscribe, you get the 30-day or the premium picks for at least 30 days, the monthly package. You're going to get this guide, every other guide that we produce. We've got the Breeders' Cup guide coming out. So this is honestly, if you subscribe now, within 2 months, you're going to get three guides, including the Breeders' Cup guide. So it's a really excellent price. So make sure you check that out. But here we are at racingnews.com. Plenty of action here. Speaker's Corner, I put in the picture here, Mike. This is how much I like the horse. I think he's got a strong shot here. Also a big weekend for football. Maybe not so much tonight because Carolina versus the Houston Texans and whoever they roll out under center this week doesn't really get the blood boiling. But an early look at who your Samos six-pack and Monday Night Football plays for the weekend coming up.
Yeah, so the last week, obviously, good week. We went 10-2. Yeah, we had 2 minutes till a sweat, real quick. So I mentioned that we're coming out the free pick fours. We're live to $1,500, $1,600, and $1,900 in the free pick four that we gave out in the article today, the first time for the Samo. So make sure you're checking that out. We're going to give out a pick four for free every day from one of the two grids that I'm doing. So hopefully we'll have that back up tomorrow, and hopefully we can get this this puppy to cash. Yeah, last week was great. Went 10-2. It was awesome. Went 4-6 in the six-pack, and then 6-0 in the honorable mention bets. Tonight's game's interesting to me. If you're a big fan of just betting in general, this is kind of a degenerate one to fire at. But historically, rookie coaches, rookie quarterbacks, terrible on Thursday nights. I had the game, I had the game set at 7.5 in my numbers. It's at 8 right now. I would lean Carolina. I don't love laying 8 points, but man, like Davis Mills is not very good. He was a third round drafted quarterback this year. He's not played a full NFL game yet. And David Culley, I literally made fun of him in the best thing I saw last time. So it's tough for me to back a coach and a quarterback on short rest against a defense that is very good and CMC, who should be able to move the ball at will. So I'm probably going to play some Carolina four in the first half. I'm probably going to play teasers with Carolina. I think that's a good way to go. I like the Saints in the second leg of that teaser on Sunday. If you want to go degenerate Thursday, Friday teaser, I like Liberty, tease them down to a pick 'em against Syracuse on Friday night. I think that's a pretty good bet. Yeah, and then I don't have any huge edges right now that I love, so I'm going to have to kind of scour the board for the six-pack. I'm not sure if we'll have 12 games up this week.
Yeah, that was a lot. I was surprised you do that much. So, all right, we're post time at race 9 at Belmont Park, and if you're listening to the podcast, sorry, this is going to be really boring for you, but this is why you got to watch live and participate, because it's not all, like Mike was saying, that he's got the Samo Bombs picks that he put up for the very first time and is alive here in the last leg. There's Aaron's girlfriend. So tell us, Mike, so post time here, who are you live to from the article here?
The one on the rail who should be the speed, the six who I really like, King James. That was my top pick in the race. And then the eight horse here. I don't have my picks up because, you know, why would I do that? And then the eight horse here who is more like it. So those are the horses that I'm looking for here. I'm scared of the 10. KK Ichigokawa, if I'm being honest. That's the horse I'm worried about.
And that's who Dr. Tang is rooting for there. Griffin says a $48 ticket. You're alive to three horses. And one more time, what are the – oh, and look at that, the Naira picks. Everybody's going with the six. So what are you alive to here, 1-6-8?
$2,000 to the one, $1,600 to the six, $1,700 to the eight on a $48 ticket that was given out free on the website.
Awesome. Let's get – well, we'll get this home. I'm on the YouTube feed, so I'm not sure how you might be a little bit ahead of me. So here, we'll see what happens. But here is the I can talk about it while they're loading. They're loading the gate for me right now. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's they're loading in right now. The 11's about to go in. It's crazy too, because we've got it. So Doctor, they just opened up all the Breeders' Cup tournaments. So everyone's trying to qualify for the Breeders' Cup tournaments right now. And so we've got a couple of us who are all trying to get in there. And so Tyler Hoffman and Dr. Tang, we have a text thread going. We all had the eight horse who got through, and now we're all fighting for seats. I nosed out Tyler last time. Tang's trying to get the 10 home to win some tournament seats. So there's a bunch of tournament action going on here too. But hopefully we can just get the one or the six or the eight home here. And the one broke well. We're going right to the lead. Exactly as expected. The six is sitting three wide. Now we're going to tuck in down. Very good. And the eight's going to come from middle to back with Ortiz. Hopefully, Elusive Edge can just wire this field now. Because we got a lead with Saez. Turf speed has been pretty good so far the whole way. It's our biggest will pay, so that doesn't suck. 23-3, that's a little bit fast, but we got two closers to cover us, so that's okay.
Actually, well, that's not – they're sprinting, right? That's not that fast.
Well, they're going six at Belmont, though.
21. I thought you said 23. I'm sorry, 21-3. That's fast.
Yeah, it's fast. And they're going six at Belmont, which is like they also don't go 5.5 like they do at Saratoga anymore. But Saez looks pretty chilly right now on this one horse.
Season, dude, what did I tell you about the day drinking, man? As far as the Breeders' Cup goes, still going with Maxfield. Put the alcohol down. Wait.
Oh, man. The eight's starting to roll. Six is starting to roll. The one's still on the lead. Come on, just open up with this one, Saez.
This is fun because I'm like,
just open up with this one, Saez. Just open up with this one, Saez. Oh, yeah, it's our horses. It's our three. Come on, baby. Get home one.
Best scenario possible.
Okay, the six is going to win, but then we're going to hit the triple. It's kind of fun. Oh, get that nose down. One. Get it back in front. Ah, all right, that's fine. $1,500 for a free ticket. Let's go. Oh, that feels good. I'm glad we got that one home.
Nicely done. Congratulations.
Thank you. And we hit the try in the last. If anyone bet that try, that's good too.
And listen, you know what it costs you to hit that money? Nothing. It costs you your time to read the damn article over here at racingdudes.com. Let me put that back up one more time for the people in the back. Look at this. Right there. Everybody that says Mike, people that try and say Mike fake shit, look at that right there. Gave it out. Everybody's celebrating with that one. So congratulations to you on that one. I also want to touch on the Racing Dudes sports section. One last time, I'll pull that up here. You can check out the Dudes Who Bet Sports that was live earlier today with Aaron and Papa Dude going through their top picks for the betting for both college and NFL. The Papa Dude's best bet of the weekend is right here, as well as a free pick for Carolina at Houston tonight. So make sure you check that one out. We'll be back on Monday. Mike, is there anything else that you want to publicize before we get out of here? I don't want to.
No, I'm gonna keep throwing these articles up. My plan is to do a grid and a grid plus tickets every day, and whatever track I do the grid, we're just gonna throw a pick four up there. So make sure you check out the article. I'll post it up. It's the new way I'm gonna do it, so I don't have to post this thing up and remind everybody all that jazz. So hopefully this is the good start that we just keep rolling for the whole weekend.
I love this from Baby Dave 73. My wife is yelling at me to help with our 1-month-old and 2-year-old until she heard the payouts. That I've never felt a comment quite like, yeah. I felt that one right there.
What's that magic? 3 months worth of diapers? 2 months worth of diapers?
It depends which brand you get. Well, congratulations, then, Mike. That was pretty awesome. So make sure you check out racingnews.com. Michael had those articles. Ricky's Rockets are up. They'll be back tomorrow morning as well to preview the Friday card, I'm sure, at Belmont Park. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Curtis Kellward. He is at Summerbomb 18, number one, number eight. Corporal Wars at Racing_Dudes. We'll be back Monday at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Get that backwards. 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific to cover all of the racing action and tell you about what we think heading towards the Breeders' Cup. Until next time, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this weekend. Play your bets and have some fun.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
Death, taxes, and Magic Mike on Monday.